Today I'd like to bring you to take you to an ego trip. Let me tell you something about this ego trip. See if you are interested in going together with me, if you have a chance. Renaissance Entertainment Inc. of Orlando is marketing Ego Trip. It's a ride all about you, each one of you here. The ride which Renaissance hopes to sell to a theme park or to operate at fairs will use riders' names. For example, use Frank's names, photos, and your voice to create a totally personalized experience. There will be paparazzi chasing after you. There will be adoring fans yelling your name and then say, "We love you." And the riders to this theme park, to the Ego Trip, they will attend their own movie premiere. You will become a superstar, and you will also visit an art museum in which you will see your own work of art. The paintings by Picasso, Warhol, and Van Gogh, you'll see your names there, okay? And you'll also attend political rally, where everybody urged you, "Run for president, we want you to become the president of the United States." If you ever thought about becoming the president of the United States, this is the chance for you to live out your dream. And if you have ever thought about becoming the best athlete in the world, here is the chance, because there will be sporting events where you will be praised at your athletic power, your athletic strength, and how good you are as an athlete. And finally, at the end of the trip, you will also enjoy a parade for your name in your honor. After that, you will go to the gift shops and pick up gifts with your photos, your names printed on every single item that you will purchase to remember you. What's everybody's subject? It's always themselves. Everybody loves themselves. That's the reality. And the Renaissance president, the president of this company, said, "Everybody loves themselves. I'm just trying to take that to the nth degree, to the very extreme. This definitely will sell. This will be a good product because everybody loves themselves and definitely they want to try that out." If there is an ego trip like this, would you go and try it out? Maybe it will be part of the Disney World. I'm planning to go to Disneyland. Actually, is it called Disney World in Florida? The one, right? Later with Nina. Maybe there'll be an ego trip. See, the fact is that we all love ourselves and we all want ourselves to be the center of everybody's attention. When you are talking and nobody is listening to you, or when you talk, people argue with you, you don't feel happy. That's our natural tendency. I want to look at some examples from the Bible of a self-willed person, what it is like, a self-centered person. According to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it talks about false teachers. They teach things that's not biblical and then live a life that is against the Bible's teachings. Okay? So that's what the Bible says about them. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority." These are the false teachers. They were daring. They were self-willed. They do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. What does it mean? What it means is that these people were teaching wrong things about the Bible. They said, "See, even angels failed. They sinned. So it's okay for us to indulge in our desires and sin." So they are doing something even angels would not do. They were insulting angels. According to the book of Jude, angels would not insult angels, even fallen angels. But these people are so daring that they will even insult angels. Just like people, there are people who would be so daring they might even insult God. These are the people who are so self-centered, they dare to do anything. Any self-willed man is a self-centered man. He is his own authority. He is often greedy and proud. In essence, a self-willed man builds the whole world around him. He is the center of the whole world. He wants to do whatever as he pleases. And William translates that a man who is not self-willed is not stubborn. Or in other words, someone who is self-willed is a very stubborn person. That person won't listen to other people's ideas, and they always think their ideas are the best. These people are so difficult to get along with. Let me give you another example of a self-willed man. Could someone turn off the light? This is the son of the emperor of Rome.
Are you ready to do your...
He wanted to be the emperor. All he wanted was everything for his own benefit.
You will not be emperor.
The emperor said you will not be emperor.
My powers will pass to Maximus.
Maximus was a faithful general for Rome.
Until the Senate is ready to rule once more. Rome is to be a republic again. That is. My decision disappoints you. You wrote to me once, listing the four chief virtues. Wisdom. Justice. Fortitude and temperance. As I read the list, I knew I had none of them.
And none of them?
But I have other virtues, Father.
Yes, some other virtue.
Ambition.
Ambition. Self-centered.
That can be a virtue when it tries to excel.
And he thought there was a virtue.
Resourceful. You are false as a son. Is my failure as a father.
When self-will carries to the very extreme, you will see what will happen then. What he wanted was that people love him, but he doesn't really love his own father. When he was so disappointed that he could not be emperor, he killed his own father, so that nobody would know about the decision that the emperor has made, not choosing him as the heir to the empire. And he killed his own father. Is that he finally killed the family of the general that was chosen by the emperor to be the heir of the emperor to establish the Republic of Rome. He killed his family. He tried to kill him too. But the general was able to escape, but became a slave. And then a slave became a gladiator. But even as a gladiator, he did not show fear to the emperor, but he loved other gladiators.
People want to know how the story ends.
She showed good character wherever he went.
Only a famous death will do.
Now the son of the emperor has already become the emperor, and yet he is not happy.
Challenged the emperor himself.
Because people admired the gladiator more than him, so he wanted to kill his fame.
Why not?
Of course, he's not as good in fighting as the general, Maximus. And he tried to have a fight with him to prove that he is even better than him. But by cheating, you see.
I knew a man who once said death smiles at us all. All a man can do is smile back.
I wonder, did your friend smile at his own death?
You must know. He was your father.
You loved my father, I know. But so did I. That makes us brothers, doesn't it? Smile for me now, brother.
It's a poisonous, a thorn that would kill him slowly. So the general would lose, or the gladiator would lose the strength to fight. And yet, it still looked a knife, so that he could kill him and show that I am a better fighter than you are. Everybody not only should respect me, admire me, worship me as the king, emperor, but also should worship me as the best fighter. Wants attention from people, wants people to worship him. Maximus the general is getting very weak now. The poison is taking its effect.
Give me your sword.
The emperor already cheated and now want to cheat again. He lost his sword and he wanted people to help him. Even people under him were not willing to help him because he's so immoral, you know. He was not doing it fairly. And the general was the one who fought for the country faithfully, was willing to die for the country, who led the country through many victories. So the people, the soldiers, loved him. Close your eyes, ladies, because the emperor will die. in his own knife. Someone turn on the knife, that's the end of self-willed man. Who wants to be like this emperor? Or the son of the true emperor, Caesar? Probably nobody wants to be like him. At least nobody wants to be killed like that. But in our life, sometimes we act in a self-willed way, just like Commodus, the son of the emperor. We are often king of our own domain of control, our little kingdom, our little empire. It might be our family with our brother or sister. And we're like emperors. And we want all the attention. We want people to serve us in our fellowship group or with our coworkers or with our schoolmates, with our subordinates, even people who are at the same level as us. But you know what? Probably will end up not like Commodus being killed. But self-will ruins the relationship with God. It ruins the relationship with yourself. And it ruins the relationship with other people. Why? Because the reason why self-will ruins the relationship with God is that when we are blinded by our own self-will, we insist on doing things in our own way. How can we follow God's way, God's will and plan for us? Because your will now is higher than even God's. So a self-willed person, he will not have a good relationship with God, who will not walk in God's guidance and teachings for him. Second, a self-willed person, being self-willed, it will ruin the relationship with your own self. When we are self-willed, we are often emotionally fluctuating, because when we are not the center of attention, we feel frustrated. I'm so good. Why are not people admiring me, respecting me as who I am? Okay? You might feel upset. When you are so self-willed, when you see somebody better than you are, you become jealous. You become irritated. You become angry when things don't happen in your own will and plan. Being a self-willed person hurts your own self. Thirdly, being a self-willed person hurts your relationship with other people. Because when you are self-willed, you don't listen to other people talking to you. Because all you care is about yourself, yourself, and yourself. And you will not be able to understand other people's needs. And you keep ignoring their needs. And finally, your friends will no longer be your friends. Because they will feel unhappy being with you. You're always the center of attention. How about them? So in the end, our self-will makes us an angry and lonely person. If you have ever read news in Hong Kong, earlier this year, there was a so-called bus uncle. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that. The bus uncle was such a bitter man. On the bus, someone was talking on the phone, and he was also talking on the phone, but he was like making a huge noise, and that young man tapped his shoulder and said, "Could you lower your voice a little bit?" And then he just used foul language all the way for 5 minutes, just yelling at this young man for 5 minutes. And very interestingly, it was taken by a little kid with a cell phone with a video taking capacity. And that video was uploaded to YouTube. If you have a chance, go to YouTube and type in "bus uncle." And it was in Cantonese, okay? But some people actually put a subtitle on them. And then I think that got more than 1 million hits in just a very short period of time. People were amazed by this man, so angry, so bitter towards people and towards the world. I believe this bus uncle is also a self-willed man. You probably don't want to be like this bus uncle. So what caused self-will? There are three causes after I've thought about that and read some books analyzing that. First one, there are people who have been spoiled since they were young. Whatever they wanted, "Dad, give me the iPod. Dad, give me the iPhone." The dad but give the son or the daughter whatever he or she wants. Whatever he wants in school, he gets it. He will always get his own way. He's so spoiled, he doesn't realize that sometimes in life, you win. Sometimes you have to lose a little bit, okay? You cannot always get things in your own way. But without understanding that, when that person is with other people, they are always exercising their own self-will, not listening to other people, always want things to be done their way. These are the people often you don't want to hang out with. Second, there's another extreme. Some people, since they were young, their parents were so strict. Everything had to follow the parents' way. And the young kids could not express their own will, their own plan, even though that there's nothing wrong. So parents who have done it so extremely will cause kids to suppress their feelings, their will, even if that's good. And as a result, when finally they have a chance to get away from home and have a chance to express their self-will, it's like a volcano that will explode. They will try to demand self-will wherever they are, try to always to claim that you have to listen to me because I've been suppressed for so long. It's time for me to express myself. So that's another experience. And the third one is, even if you have never been spoiled as a kid, you never were able to get everything you wanted, and you were never suppressing your feelings or your self-will, after you have grown up, you, even as a Christian, you started being tempted by all the worldly good things, and you started to fall away from God, and you started to not to fear God, even worship some of the things this world worships. Maybe not idol, but money can be an idol, and other things. So you don't fear God, and you don't rely on the Holy Spirit. As a result, according to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So they cannot live in wisdom and will act in a very self-willed way, destroying relationship with God, with themselves, and with other people. Second, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. But if you do not walk by the Spirit, you do not walk by the Spirit by relying on the Holy Spirit. Every decision you pray to God and read the Bible, see what the Bible says, and then you follow it. If you don't do that, you will often carry out the desire of your own sinful nature. Even if we are believers of Jesus Christ, we still have that sinful nature in us. So these are the causes of self-will. So how can we overcome self-will? Self-will, seeing that it can be so destructive. First, let's examine ourselves. Are there occasions that you have been so self-centered, so self-willed, that you will not listen to anybody? You want everybody to listen to you? Like Commodus, like the son of the emperor. What might have caused that? Spend quiet time to pray to God, ask God to reveal that to you. Might that be that you were being spoiled since you were young? Look at your childhood and see if that might be the cause. Is it because you were being suppressed? Your parents never allow you to make any decision. No self-will at all, and you've been suppressing yourself. And whenever there's a chance to express it, you will express it to the very extreme. You'll become a very self-willed person. Or is it that you don't fear God? You don't rely on the Holy Spirit in your life? Then let's learn how to fear God and rely on the Holy Spirit in our life. Because Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says that, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." What is love? As I define, it's sacrificial love, self-giving love, not selfness love. It's selfness love, not selfish love, centered on other people. Rely on the Holy Spirit, and you will have the fruit of the Spirit, that is love, that is not focusing on yourself. Then you will become a selfless person instead of a self-willed, self-centered, selfish person. It hurts you to be a selfish person. Galatians chapter 5 verse 25, it says that if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another, expressing your self-will. But if you live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, then you will not do such self-will things to hurt your relationship with God, with yourself, and with other people. How do we overcome self-will? Learn to respect and love people. Because love, if I've read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to verse 8, maybe you can read that all together. Of course, what I want you to look at closely is love is not self-seeking, but love has other aspects too. Let's read God's words together about what's the definition of love. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Let's read it together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not deny it evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the definition of love according to God in the Bible. If you learn to love this way, you will slowly become a less self-willed person and later on become a selfless person. So let's learn how to listen to other people and appreciate other people. When people speak, when people express their will, try to listen to them and try to meet their needs. Learn to love selflessly. I want to show you an example from the Bible of a selfless person. The best example is Jesus. According to John chapter 8 verse 28, so Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me." Even though Jesus, he himself is God, he did nothing on his own. Because we believe in a God, there's only one God but three persons. In that three-person relationship, Jesus always listen to the Father's will and then do it accordingly. According to Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 that we read earlier, Paul is a good example of a selfless servant leader. He was a wonderful godly leader. He was selfless. At the end, he became so mature that he realized that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Obviously, it was Paul who lived, but he said, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." There was a funeral. Probably everybody should attend this type of funeral in the future. In the funeral, at the end of it, everybody went up to pay respect to the person lying in the coffin. And then the coffin was half open, so everybody tried to lean forward and look at it. And then they were all shocked after they looked at it. Do you know what was in there? It was a mirror. And when they looked, they saw themselves lying in the coffin. And actually, it was used by a pastor to bring out the point that if we don't die, our own self don't die to God, it's impossible for us to live for God. I hope one day maybe everybody should put a coffin in their own home and remind them not only that life is only temporary, our physical life, but also that we need to die to ourselves every day. If we don't die to ourselves, we cannot let God, Christ, live in us. Let's look at another example of someone who is a selfless servant leader. John the Baptist. According to John chapter 3 verse 30, he was already admired by people as the greatest prophet by the people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, who were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But he said, hey guys, don't mistake me as the Messiah. I am just preparing the way for the Messiah. He must become greater. I must become less. I think if we can have this model as our night's walk or service to God, that would be very pleasing to God. Because in our service, ultimately people can see God, not ourselves. God becomes greater and greater, and we will diminish and disappear so that people through us can see only God. That's also the goal of worship. Not to lift up ourselves, not to make ourselves happy with all kinds of things that you might like in the worship service. No, the purpose is to make God happy. God is the ultimate goal of worship. Mark chapter 1 verse 7 says that, and this was his message, what John the Baptist preached. After me will come one more powerful than I. He was respected, admired, and yet he said, don't make a mistake. There is someone who is more powerful than I, the thorns of whose sandals I am not worthy to scoop down and untie. It's something that a servant should do, but he said, I won't even deserve to be this person's servant. And this person is Jesus, the true God becoming true human being. He said, I will baptize you with water. I baptize you with water now for your repentance from sins. But that will not save you. It will only cause you to come to this true God, Messiah, God becoming human, Jesus Christ. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then you will have the power to resist sins, and you will enter eternal life if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's look at another example of a selfless servant leader. You have already saw the fight at the end, but I want you to hear a conversation that he had with Caesar, the emperor. The emperor, the real emperor, the father of that wicked, immoral emperor, Commodus, when Caesar said, I want you to be the one who inherit the kingdom and then establish as the republic, to let the people rule, not letting one person rule the country. How did he react? It is a chance for him to become like an emperor, and then maybe he can just promise it, and then later on just own the power and become an emperor himself. He had all the power. He was a great general. He had a whole army, loyal soldiers following him. He could do that. But how did he react? Immediately, he will say, what would you have me do, Caesar? That was his attitude. And if you look at the other video clip, Commodus, the immoral emperor, said, all I have always wanted. Everything was centered on himself. But maximize that. What would you have me do? Can we say God? What would you have me do? Instead of God, all I have wanted. Let's look at this video clip.
I will use them to become protector of Rome after I die. I will empower you to one end of Rome, to give power back to the people of Rome and end the corruption that has crippled it. You accept this great honor that I have offered you with all my heart now. Must be you.
Surely, a prefect, a senator, somebody who knows the city, who understands her politics.
But you have not been corrupted by her politics. And Commodus? Commodus is not a moral man. You have known that since you were young. Commodus cannot rule. He must not rule. You are the son that I should have had. Commodus will accept my decision.
oath that you command the loyalty of the army. I need some time, sir. By sunset, I hope you will have agreed. Now embrace me as my son. Bring an old man, another blanket.
And after that fight that we saw earlier, because he was already poisoned,
Maximus.
Although he killed the immoral emperor,
free my men.
He also was dying. But he said, even at his death, he said, free my men. He was not thinking about himself. Three the gladiators who fought with me for their knives, for my knife together. And also grant the wish of the true emperor. Give the kingdom back to the people. Even at his death, he was not thinking about himself. When I reviewed that yesterday, this part of the video, I was in here seeing God wants us to be just like Maximus, to be a selfless emperor, to be a selfless servant leader, always thinking about God's kingdom, God's people. Not our own benefits, even to death. Many people cherish knives so much that their physical knife so much that they become self-willed, not realizing that this physical knife, it's only temporary. It's knife after this that counts when we see God. That's the knife that counts. And yet what we do now, as said also in the movie in the beginning, would echo in eternity. Are we willing to become a self-willed person like Commodus, the immoral emperor, or like Maximus, the selfless general who became a slave? The slave who became a gladiator. And finally, in this fight at the end of the movie, he lost his knife, but he gave the kingdom back to the people. All those were gladiators who fought together with him, his comrades. This was the senator who was persecuted because he wanted to help to make room a republic, and he was put in prison.
Who will help me carry him?
But now he is also free to make room a republic. And these people are paying respect. Even that little kid was going to pay a respect to a real selfless servant leader. Okay.
Turn out the time.
So it's an interesting thing that Maximus didn't want to be the one who had the power. And it was just because he didn't want to have the powers, he didn't have the ambition for power, that made him a great leader. And as a result, the emperor was willing to let him be the heir of the emperor and the empire, and then make the country a republic for the people. Similarly, if we are so self-willed, we have our self-centered ambition, even you claim that you're doing things for God, I'm afraid God will not give you the big things to do for his kingdom. Instead, it's those people who are willing to serve God selflessly, not thinking about themselves. God will make that person great to impact other people, bless other people, so that God, He Himself, will be glorified. Because in a selfless person, that person will not try to glorify himself. Ultimately, God will be glorified. The next example of a selfless servant leader, Mother Teresa, although she was Catholic, but I believe some Catholics, if they indeed read the Bible, understand that we only can be saved by grace through faith alone, that she might be saved. But I really admire what she did throughout her life, so selflessly, for those poor kids in India. And that's what was said about Mother Teresa. When Mother Teresa was passing through a crowd in Detroit, a woman remarked, "Her secret is that she is free to be nothing. Therefore, God can use her for anything. She is free to be nothing. That's why God can use her for anything. Let's all be free to be nothing, so that we can be used by God to do anything for God." Let's all pray together. Ultimately, we cannot do it by ourselves to become a selfless servant leader. Only God can help us. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great examples part in the Bible and even in a movie that I watched. You have shown us what a selfless servant leader, how precious that is to you and to people around us. God, we're so weak, we're so self-centered, we are self-willed often. But God, in your spirit, there's only self-sacrificing, selfless love, and we have your spirit in our heart. Help us to have such a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God, through our prayers and reading the Bible, thinking about God's word all the time, that will help us to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and one of that is selfless love. Help us. Only you know what caused us to be selfish, to be self-centered, to be self-willed in our life. Let us be willing to spend some quiet time to think about what caused us to react, to act in selfish ways, self-willed ways. Might it be our past, our childhood, being so spoiled, so suppressed, or is the key that we don't fear God? Let us fear you, God. I know you treat us as kids, you love us so much, and yet you are the greatest King of all kings. You are the true God. You created heavens and earth by your word. You created everything. You can take life and you can give life. We should have fear towards you too, God. We are so trivial when we stand before you, and yet you make us so significant. Lord, make us God-fearing people so that we can be selfless people for you too. Let us learn how to die to ourselves so that we can live for Christ. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.